The Score is Chicago's number one sports station, an exclusive radio home for Super Bowl 57, Chiefs versus Eagles. Listen live Super Bowl Sunday. Our coverage starts at 1 p.m. Kickoff at 5:30 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The
Score! Oh, hi, Mark.
There's the yell. That means it's time. It's time for Mark Grody on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Mark Grody. How's Mark Grody? Day before the Super Bowl, Mark Grody.
Doing well, Stevie Sunshine. How are you today? You sound great. You sound crystal clear.
I am having a great broadcast voice day. Stevie Suckage here. I've been using that, as we talked about last week, Stevie Suckage. And I thought, well, you know what? Maybe my rapper name needs a change. So I thought I'd put it out there. You can go to the Score's website, Twitter. What is it? Sean? Did you finally did something right?
Send me the Score Twitter. There's a Twitter poll up between either Chance the Rabbi or Little Flop Sweaty.
Lil.
Little Flop Sweaty. I'm sorry. That's what it says.
Probably should have been an apostrophe after the L, the first L. Lil.
I work in radio. I'm not a writer, so.
I am 100% behind Chance the Rabbi. I just think that was one of your golden moments.
because your neighbors would Chance the Rapper.
Yeah, it might have something to do with my occasionally run into Chance the Rapper relationship at the grocery store. That is very possible. But, you know, yeah, he's Chicago, and Chance the Rabbi is like object. You came up with that, yes, Stevie Sunshine?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I usually run it by Lawrence Holmes. What do you think about this? And I have not run Little Flop Sweaty by Lawrence, but I
do like that you make up your own nicknames. That is wonderful.
Sure. Well, who else? I'm not waiting. Yeah. If I don't think that about me, who will?
That's the way it works on weekends, buddy. We're all on our own little weekend island.
Here we go.
I know nobody's got my back today. Maybe Monday, but not today.
I got your back. I'm here for you. You're here for me. That's the way it works. So
I care and you care, and that's all that cares.
Before we went to break, I teased the overs and unders for Mark Grody hard-boiled eggs as part of the Super Bowl buffet at the Casa Grody. And 630 texter texted this. You'll know, you'll perhaps enjoy this, or perhaps so old news to you, but all the text says is hard-boiled eggs. Put eggs in pot, fill with cold water, bring to boil, turn off heat, and cover for 15 minutes. Drain under cold water, won't turn green. Chef in Springfield. We have a Springfield chef sending us recipe for hard-boiled eggs.
I have to say, I have received a lot of hard-boiled egg recipe or tricks, really.
Tricks? Because, kind of tricks could you have with hard-boiled eggs?
Well, like putting them in cold water and how long you let them sit, so when you peel the eggs, you get a satisfying egg afterwards instead of little tiny bits of peel, as does happen. So I think there are intricacies in making the perfect hard-boiled egg. I typically don't make my own hard-boiled egg. I have to tell you, what is the over-under on? Probably about zero. I got to tell you, I'm off the hard-boiled eggs lately. I need to get back on them, because when I'm on the hard-boiled eggs, it's a pretty good sign that old Grody is being healthy.
Why?
Well, because hard-boiled eggs are 0 points on any Weight Watchers program, and it's just a good, hearty, healthy, protein-based snack or meal. So
now you're on zero.
I'm on zero.
You're
eggs.
Just binging, careening.
Have you seen me lately?
He's
Steve?
El Gordo Grody. Yeah, we did a show a couple weeks ago at 5:30 in the morning. Like, everybody looks weird. Everybody looks great. I think
the funniest text I got. I mean, let's just face it. I've gained a little bit of weight, and during one of the shows that was on Twitch, where people could see you during the afternoon show, not for the weekends. Of course, we're abandoned on weekends. We are not supported on weekends. But on one of the weekday shows that I did, Somebody I was talking about my eating habits recently, and somebody actually texted, "We've been waiting for you, Grody." Like other fat people, like, "We've been waiting for we." Like, they must have heard it in my. There must have been some tells, some triggers. Maybe even when I was skinny, like in my language, where I would talk about certain. Oh boy, Grody is at high risk for joining us one day. So I thought that was kind of funny. But
was that Rick Camp or Jay Zawoski from the Unfat podcast?
I never verified the number, but I should have.
Yeah.
It was very I'm Fat podcast. It was very, yeah, we knew you were coming. We saw the first 10-pound gain. We saw a little bit extra in your face, and then it starts to build. Yep. You're one of us. Tell us everything. Tell us all your meals. Tell us all your tricks.
So it's the fat version of the, "I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too."
Yeah, exactly. I was seduced into their world. I've joined the dark side, and there's nothing I could do about it. I'm fully possessed like young Anakin Skywalker. Like the bad guys, yes.
Yeah, well, you know what? In these challenging times, there's an argument to be made that is simply self-care and eating comfort food. So putting hot dogs and macaroni and cheese, that's comfort food squared. In these challenging times, that's the way to go. Or reducing it to its simplest form, bread, crusty bread, and butter.
Period. Oh, that's dude, it. You are speaking my language, my friend. Yeah, because when it's all over and it's all said and done with your meal, there's bread and butter in the
That's right.
It hasn't been touched.
How that remained in the basket, I don't know.
Yeah, or before then. You know what? I've got something. I'm preheating the oven. Why not eat this bread?
In a previous life, I was a beach ball with arms. And me and the red thing, we discovered a loaf of corn rye at his house. So we toasted every slice and buttered it and ate the whole thing.
You know what? Now that I'm a fat temporarily, we're waiting for you, man. I mean, you sound like those are tells right there. When you're getting off on bread and butter, that sounds simple, but that's very dangerous. That's a tell. That's a tell, Steve.
It is. I could go with the whole the whole baguette is my downfall.
Seriously.
I could do the whole thing.
Oh my God, you're on your way, Steve. You really are.
So what is we will talk about the game in a moment, but what's very important are the commercials, and we don't know them. Well, we do know them, but the food. What is if there's a menu or if there's a boss fave, what is number one on the Grody, maybe it's all-time Super Bowl foods, or one, two, three, whatever you want to rank them?
Oh, wow. I think what I look most forward to typically at Super Bowl parties is the guacamole. That is something that I look forward to.
It's a health food.
Yeah, it's a superfood, as they say.
Yeah.
So, but that's super. Yeah, I don't understand how guacamole works. It's like the fattiest food ever, but no, it's good fats. So I was like, all right.
So are you and Jay and Rick. You're all good fats.
So I'm pretty simple. I'm down with the guacamole. Mm-hmm. I do still like some of the classics, like the little rolled up hot dogs. I'm down with that. Those are always delicious, especially when freshly out of the oven. Mm-hmm. You know what's really good? You know, it's really I have found in the last few years of dancing about Super Bowl parties is buffalo chicken dip.
Oh yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
That's like you don't need the crackers. Just get the bowl, get a spoon.
Get a spoon.
Oh, man. Back to the fat. Back to the fat.
We'll get you a funnel.
Yeah. I have very complicated Super Bowl plans. You'll like this, though, Stevie Sunshine. Today, right after I get off of the air with you, I will be driving to Itasca to Gene and Gare's, and then we're going to go over to Aunt Rhonda's, and we're going to grill some steaks and whatnot and just have a jolly old time. And then tomorrow on Super Bowl Sunday, I am going to be hosting a show here on the screen. I don't know if you know this. I haven't heard the promotions for it, but
I've not seen a list. I'm on a need to know basis. Apparently, all I need to know is that big game coverage on the Score Sunday is presented by Sota Weight Loss. That's SOTA. Visit SotaWeightLoss.com. Hint, hint. Nudge,
yeah,
nudge.
Oh, yeah.
Wink,
oh,
wink.
Yeah, hey.
Know what I mean? Know what I mean?
Hey, so, I applied for Soda. They wouldn't give me that one. So the person that actually needs it was
it
not
was
granted
not.
It. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So when is your show? You can promote it here.
Thank you. Thank you, because I'm not hearing it promoted on the station, but I will be
welcome to
from,
weekend programming.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Parkins is on. There's a show starting at 1, but there's a secret show that I am now revealing. Super secret show. I will actually be on from 12 to 1 tomorrow, and I will get to play all of the best stuff that we produced as a radio station, all of our interviews and things leading up to the game. So I'm doing like a little best of before the network pregame starts at 12. So I'm doing my own promotions here, Steve. It's the way it has to be. And
secret pregame show.
Yeah, my secret. Apparently it is. It's just, I'm not hearing anything about it except from me. So yeah, I'll be on from 12 to 1, and then I'll just get the hell out of there. Yeah.
630 texture. Hey boys, what is Dave the Cat's favorite Super Bowl snack?
That's a great question. God, you know, Dave is a good cat when it comes to not eating a lot of people food. He's just like, he'll come and take a little nibble every once in a while, but I'll tell you what, I think Dave is just down with his sweet, healthy diet.
We hate to see that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird living in my house right now, because while I am fighting it, Dave the cat, I have put Dave on a diet, so, and he's got no choice. We're not going to have too fat.
Dave's on a diet, so you're vicariously losing weight through your cat.
It does feel unfair. Like, he sees me get this big rotisserie chicken with blue cheese and fries and all, and then here you go with your healthy science diet, Dave. He's looking at me like, you got to be kidding me.
He's planning something. You're in trouble.
Oh, and then tomorrow after the show, I will be going to my friend Lisa's in the suburbs, and we'll be just having a jolly old time at a Super Bowl, kind of a impromptu Super Bowl party that we put together.
Are you expected to bring something, or will it be provided? Or
I was told that, like, I know Lisa pretty well. She told me just go buy Diet Coke. All you have to do is go to the store and buy a case. She goes, like, cans, Diet Coke, not Diet Pepsi, cans. Everybody gets individual cans. In other words, she doesn't want, like, the 3-liter
sharing
bottles
of the liters, yeah.
She wants everybody to have their own cans. She's like, and then I'll provide the rest. So, and this was actually a Super Bowl party that I kind of put together. Like, I called her. I said, hey, what are you doing? And I was hoping she would be like, hey, why don't you and some people come on over? I was like, sick. That worked out really well.
Sean Sears, did you notice how he lapsed into Will Ferrell doing Alex Trebek on Jeopardy? All you have to do.
Yeah. All you have to do is buy the Diet Coke, and you will be satisfied.
There we go. So, yes. So they're going to play a game. You're going to have to watch it. We have great stuff with commercials, and I have some stuff coming up about the Super Bowl commercials and what to watch for, and some and one other surprise during the game. But watching the game, and I think there is a legitimate reason, even though, and I used to do it every year. What does this game mean in terms of the Bears? What do they learn from it? Where does it go? It is a copycat league, like it or not. What can you copycat? So did the Jalen Hurts experience? Now, he was a second-round quarterback, and he was drafted when Carson Wentz was still healthy and good, but quarterbacks can suck at any moment. That was that example. And Pat Mahomes was a guy the Bears just decided wasn't as good as Mitch Trubisky. And here he is doing all sorts of magical unicorn things. And they have offensive lines, and they have receivers, and all that kind of stuff. What do you expect? Are you watching the game with, like, how does this affect the Bears' future? How does this affect the Bears' strategy, free agency, draft, and trades? And or you just say, I'm here for the party.
Yeah, I'm here for the party.
Okay, that's good. This interview's over.
No, I mean, you, especially in Philadelphia's case, and you've got, you know, GMs on this team in Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham, both of whom have ties to these championship teams in Philadelphia and Kansas City, both of whom have had the dream in the NFL, and that is sustained success. One of them has done it through a superstar quarterback, and you know, some guys obviously in Travis Kelce and so on who have been superstars through the years with Kansas City, but mostly It's the superstar model. That's what Kansas City is. It's like we have an out of this world, it's straight up elite quarterback who, if you put him as number one right now in the league, nobody would have a single problem with that. So that's kind of like the dream model that falls on GM's laps usually through the draft. And we know the complicated process it was with Pat Mahomes and as it pertained to the Bears as well. So the Kansas City model is not as nearly as realistic as the Philadelphia model. And the Philadelphia model, quite frankly, has looked perfect. Perfect to the point where I don't think anybody could photocopy what the Eagles have done over, you know, the last decade or even the last couple of decades. But this is a team that sucked 2 years. This is a team that won the Super Bowl in 17-18, fired their head coach 2 years later, and then now here they are back in the damn Super Bowl with a roster that is better than the roster they had when they won the Super Bowl last. So, every team should look to the Eagles in terms of how to build a team. And I look at Jalen Hurts, and that's an easy, obvious, like you'd like to see Justin Fields be like that to just get some order to the offense. And it doesn't have to be spectacular. It just has to be something other than, you know, the occasional big time pass and a lot of great running. So yeah, I think that the Eagles model is, even though it's pretty tough to attain, and even the Eagles model is going to break up after this year to some degree with all their free agents. You know, you can't keep top tier talent on NFL teams more than a couple of years, but I mean, that's the one to follow, but I don't know that any model is actually something that you could follow up on right now because it's a tough task to pull off.
We got a text from the 815, and we in the Wake and Bake Club, as well as Saturday Suckers, love the 815. Our text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And you can reach our text zone, 312-644-6767. I'll put the question to you from the 815, Mark. Do you think Patrick Mahomes would be Patrick Mahomes if the Bears had drafted him?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe it would have taken a little bit longer.
Who's Travis Kelce in the Bears' world?
Oh, see, then you're doing it too. So you are saying that Patrick Mahomes is dependent on weapons and system to be a great quarterback. I don't believe that. Have you seen the guy? I think what makes him great is his ability to draw outside of the lines and to improv. I think Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. Apparently you don't.
I do think he's a great quarterback. I think the immediacy of it was, wait, I get to throw to maybe the greatest tight end ever, certainly the greatest active tight end. Oh, wow, that's a start. And, you know, they had an exceptional amount of speed. And the thing about that is that, especially on the outside, that the Bears have tried to do that. Darnell Mooney was sort of that, but they dumped too much on him and his routes became bad. But they've gone after that. Damir Bird, well, look, he's fast. Let's try this. And they've tried to get this. And there's something there about why they can't, either they misjudge it, guys get hurt, or whatever. The Bears do have shown a willingness to add whatever speed they can. They just haven't gotten that right. I don't know why.
Even going back to the previous regime and bringing in Taylor Gabriel, who they thought was, you know, Anthony Miller, these speed guys, and Gabriel was, you know, faster than Anthony Miller, who was no slouch himself. But it really brings into the picture one's ability to route run, you know, and that is not something that just because you're a fast guy does not mean that you are a good receiver or somebody who can be relied on within an offense, you know, every once in a while. But yeah, you need that guy who is out there and open on every play. We talked about it last week. Like, the Bears don't have that dependable receiver, and that goes for everybody. That goes for David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert and Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney and the rest of these guys. There isn't that safe outlet. There isn't that guy that Justin Fields has this incredible connection with that you know is going to be your safety valve other than Justin Fields having to run the football all the time. That guy just doesn't exist. So it really, not to oversimplify, but it really does show you that, route running and being a complete receiver supersedes the ability to have world-class speed, which is nice to have that. And there are a few guys who actually put that, like Tyreek Hill. He has mastered one of, I think, the most difficult things to do. The power of speed and the power of route running mixed together with somebody like Tyreek Hill. And we have seen it on such a limited basis with these Bears receivers. We know that Darnell Mooney has shown some big-time flashes. I don't know, flashes is probably not the right word. He's shown more than flashes. He's been a good receiver, but still not the guy who you fear.
You know, the idea when Patrick Mahomes is going to be Patrick Mahomes, here. Mitch Trubisky wasn't supposed to be Mitch Trubisky that early on. It was Mike Glennon's year. Remember, he told us it was Mike Glennon's year. They had a dysfunctional, they had idiot management and idiot decisions. Oh, yeah. And that prevented Patrick Mahomes sat for a while and it was by design. And that's what Matt Nagy wanted to do with Mitch Trubisky. But Mike Glennon was so bad. And you had a whole bunch of dysfunction. And I think you still do at Halas Hall. I'm still not sure it's all clear, but
this is my year.
Yeah, it's all our years. So here's what I believe is Patrick Mahomes, if he were a Bear, would look like Justin Fields this year. Maybe a little better passer. I think he sort of knows what a receiver, an open receiver, looks like in the NFL. I'm trying to go back to when he first started, when he first played regularly.
Talking about Mahomes?
Yeah.
He played that final game of 2017.
Right. But I think he still had a better sense of adapted to NFL speed better, the smaller windows, the shorter windows. But I think that he would have looked a lot like Justin Fields this year, which is an optimistic thing to look at, because he would have been, had he been a Bear, he probably would have had a better line Mitch Trubisky had a better line. And then Justin Fields did, but I think that would have been it. You would have seen that kind of ad lib.
Okay, but you would have seen him more on the Josh Allen trajectory, where it took him with the Bears,
yeah, because they don't know what talent weapons look like. You remember? You go back. You talked about reliable, safety blanket, security blankets. Jay Cutler, with the best arm we've ever seen in a Bear quarterback, he still needed Earl Bennett, who really wasn't fast at all, but that was the guy he could throw to.
You say Earl Bennett, I say Devin Aroma should do, but that's fine. I mean, potatoes.
Okay.
No, I know what you're saying. It's very true. I wish we could simulate this. I really do. And maybe there are ways to do it. I could see him, Patrick Mahomes was with the Bears in 2017, I definitely think he would have gotten jacked around. I think that Bears fans would have been like, yo, let this guy go, because they were obviously, the philosophy was be conservative with these guys. And if they had ended up with Patrick Mahomes and not Mitch Trubisky, I think it just would have been undeniable at some point in time. You would have seen him make some plays, and maybe it would not have been as organized as what was going on in KC, but I still think there would have been these deluxe moments for him where it would have been undeniable. And I think the same thing probably would have happened. They would have been like, yo, John Fox is holding this guy back.
Yeah.
We know what he's capable of doing. And then he would have gotten canned, and you bring in the next regime, and that was obviously Matt Nagy. So, God, I've seen enough of Patrick Mahomes to where you could have plugged and played him in any system, and eventually he would have been great, even with the Bears under Ryan Pace.
I think he would have been, and I think it would have been been better than Justin Fields because he would have had a better defense. Justin Fields had.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's another thing. Like, if we're really doing this, let's face it. I mean, you could say what you want about Ryan Pace, but he was good at defense. He was good at defense, and there was, at least in that window of 2018-plus, there was elite defense. So yeah. It's hard to think that somehow Patrick Mahomes would not have overcome the coaching staff and put together a team that at least made it to the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, so tomorrow, when you're basically doing an hour of what Mark heard. Isn't that what you're doing?
I am, yes. I am, and I probably did hear a lot of it because I am a P1 listener to the Score. But, yeah, we'll see what we have in store for me. I know Tyler Buterbaugh is going to be part of the he will be producing for me. So we'll just have a grand old time, and we'll try to get some promotions going for it at some point in time today. Maybe I'll just pop on the air intermittently and just tell people about my 12-1 show.
There you go. Hey, go. Go door to door. That's noon tomorrow right here on this very radio station, right?
Noon tomorrow. That's right. Danny Parkins is doing a show, which has been well promoted. And then I'll be doing a show from 12 to 1.
Which
and
has then, been non-promoted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The secret, dirty little secret show. Oh, yeah. I don't know if we want to let this one out.
Oh, yeah. Don't so tell anybody.
From, yeah. Ugh, I'll be on from 12 to 1. And then the network steps in at 1 o'clock. And then we're all free.
Everybody big just, voice guy.
That's right. Everybody goes home then. It's 1 o'clock. Everybody get to your retreats, get to your seats, get to your Super Bowl parties, and have at it.
There we go. There's your word. There's your plan.
That's it, buddy. What are you? Real quick, what are you doing?
I'll be working. I'll be working. We're always
okay.
working.
All right.
Always
all right.
working. Got stuff you, to do. I'll be right. finding. I'll be finding the snacks. You know, whether it's pastry pups. I like the pastry pups idea. That you know.
Ooh. Ooh.
And I like that. And we'll be. It's such the great snacking thing. And I had oral surgery, so I can't eat the chips. I can eat the guacamole. I've learned to adapt to that. So I can't, until the sutures come out, I can't eat chips or crusty bread, which is really good guacamole. But I've got workarounds to get me the guacamole, the healthy fat.
Okay.
The healthy fat.
You're being helped by some sort of injury that you had. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
I mean, well, we all got to play hurt. It's the Super Bowl. Come on.
Hey, man, I had a broken jaw at one point in time in my life, and that was the best diet I ever had.
Terrific.
I lost 20 pounds without trying.
Okay, well, you know what? Maybe there'll be some ice you could slip on, and you can hope
for that.
Yeah,
hope for
we're
that.
All yeah. rooting for you, Mark.
Yeah, I'll check back with you next week.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
Mark Rohde. He'll be here noon tomorrow. He will. It is. It's going to be an hour of what Mark heard. Here's what Mark heard on the Score this week, leading up to the Super Bowl. And speaking of which, we talked about Patrick Mahomes. He's got a little trick planned. Watch for it tomorrow. There's other things to watch for in Super Bowl Sunday. That's one of them. I'll discuss them next. Top of the hour, Paul Sullivan. We'll talk about him and Michael Jordan and what the Bulls and White Sox have in common. Misery would be the answer there. Misery and mediocrity. And apparently it's okay because ownership deals with it very well. As long as you send a check. I'm Stevie Suckage. Go to our web poll. Sean, what is our web poll?
It's at 670 The Score, at 670 Score on Twitter. Let me pull it up here real quick. Our question is, what should Steve's new rapper name be? Either should he stick with Chance the Rabbi or Lil Flop Sweaty?
Okay, and how's the voting going?
Right now, it's still Chance the Rabbi. We're up to over 100 votes right now. 57.8 for Chance the Rabbi, 42.2 for Lil Flop Sweaty.
Lil Flop Sweaty's getting a little flop sweat, wondering if he's going to, all right. So, you got it. We're Saturday Suckage. But you figured that out, didn't you? Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Suck it, Trebek.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Yes, it did. Welcome and welcome back. Stevie Suckage, your Saturday Suckage. Summer Love. Well, why would we do that? Because that song will be parodied tomorrow in a Super Bowl ad. It's John Travolta and the heartthrob, the late heartthrob, Olivia Newton-John. Sigh. Summer Love from Greece. So they're now running. T-Mobile has a commercial with John Travolta parodying Summer Love about T-Mobile. I think it's the internet. And it includes Zach Braff in the commercial. And they're dancing and singing their way into your hearts with T-Mobile and Summer Love. And that's some of what you're going to get. So I'm promoting that. I should promote this. We have a 312 texter. The Grody theme for tomorrow, don't promote Groat. So he's on at noon with one of our secret football shows. So while Mark Grody and I are talking and he is expressing laughing through the gritted teeth about not being promoted while everything else is about the Super Bowl, the big game on this show. By the way, the big game coverage on The Score Sunday, it's all presented by Sota Weight Loss. That's S-O-T-A. Visit SotaWeightLoss.com. And while we're talking, me and Grody, I got a group text from Trash Panda. And I got to make sure I don't say certain words on the air. It's okay, Trash Panda says. They're not promoting me hosting 3 a.m. Monday for Super Bowl reaction either. LOL. All right. So anyways, that's our secret Super Bowl programming. We have Grody at noon with an hour of what Mark heard leading up to the network taking it over, taking you through the big game. And at 3 a.m. on this very radio station, The Score, Trash Panda will be here with secret musings and reactions and discussing what does this mean for the Bears. Well, it means another game they didn't get in. And another game where Justin Fields looked great in the Super Bowl, but his line let him down. Can we already write that? We might as well write that, because Justin Fields is going to have a great first half in the Super Bowl, and then they're going to suck, and it'll be everybody else's fault. And Grody is now, Grody and Trash Panda are texting me things that would cost the station its license. And you're trying to get me to say that, so I'm going to switch out of this text and stop that. And so I talked about the came back with the ads. You did you see any ads? You get any sync previews? Sean Sears?
No, I haven't seen a ton of them. I know there's like they get released on YouTube usually like the Friday before sometimes, but I haven't seen any that have stuck out to me.
Some of them have been out. We saw the one with Steve Martin and Ben Stiller. Double secret diet Pepsi zero sugar kind of thing. They're doing that. And
are they sponsoring Grody's show too?
Yeah, it's secret soda. There's one now now it makes sense. Last week I asked you to corral some sound from Jennifer Coolidge. Yeah. So if you could get that up, because she's going to be in a Super Bowl commercial. We also talked last week, Willie Nelson, Snoop Dogg, and Martha Stewart in the new Easy Light Bic.
That's right.
Don't talk to me. Get the Jennifer Coolidge stuff. All right? Don't talk to me, Sean. Get the Jennifer Coolidge stuff. So anyways, they got, and there's a picture of the three of them. And so it couldn't be more overt. Make it handy to hold this lighter and sort of an extendo match there. And guess what that does for you? That'll light your glass one hitter. That'll light your glass pipe on. And that'll make it all work. So there you go. That's one of the ads. Now, Pete Davidson, John Hamm, and Brie Larson are doing a Hellman's mayonnaise commercial. I don't know. Is there anything? Would it be like John Hamm's the whitest person you could find? Who's the whitest person you could find? Ed Begley Jr.? Is he the whitest person you can find? Who's the what? Well, I shouldn't say that. In these political times, it's pretty easy to. Okay. But they're doing Hellman's mayonnaise. They're stuck in a refrigerator, and I guess Hellman is their friend. And I just, you look, this is what happens on Super Bowl Sunday. This is the kind of stuff you get. Big people, how do you say no to the money, right? That's apparently what happened in reading the reviews of 80 for Brady, which Sweet Cheeks wants to see, and we'll probably see it. And it kind of reminds me of draft day. Michael Phillips wrote a review in the Tribune about it. I remember when we both saw draft day and we did a video on that. He rated it as the movie critic. I rated it as the football guy. And we came around 2 stars, 2.5 stars. And you just, it's improbable. It's ridiculous, but you knew it was going to be in Vontae Mack no matter what. And you were, that's what you're doing there, okay? This apparently is the same way. It's just these 4 stars, Rita Moreno, Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, Sally Field. And maybe the greatest thing about it was something that's probably not in the movie, but they did for a promo where they showed up in their Brady jerseys and they gave either their name and their high school or college. And Jane Fonda's was Jane Fonda, college dropout. And one
now, it's time for the 80 for Brady starting lineup.
Lily Tomlin, Wayne State University.
Rita Moreno, PS132.
Sally Field, Birmingham High School.
Jane Fonda, college dropout.
It's great. So anyways, Michael Phillips gave it a 2.5 stars and said they save it. And see, I told you we're not going to go near that political stuff, right? We're trying to find the whitest people in America. Immediately, the 309 lets us know you are a, and that's a word I probably shouldn't say on the radio, so we know what you are. Thank you for outing yourself, sir. I appreciate that. Anyways, there was the weirdest damn thing, came across this tape of Jennifer Coolidge. We love Jennifer Coolidge on the show. In all of the mockumentaries, all the Christopher Guest stuff, and especially Best in Show, Jennifer Coolidge. Rocks.
That's her, like, probably my favorite performance from her. It's awesome.
She's outstanding. But she's on the red carpet at something that I was unclear on, and I heard this from her.
What's the ultimate dream role for you now? What would be, if you anything you could happen, what would it be?
I've always wanted to play a dolphin.
A dolphin?
Like a, you mean like a
animated
like a half,
feature?
No,
like Flipper?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's talking about a real dolphin. Why? Where does it? Now, I know that it could be mockumentary stuff, but it turns out it's this. Jennifer Coolidge is going to be in an ad for Elf Cosmetics, E.L.F. Cosmetics, where she channels a baby dolphin. That's it. I have not seen the ad. I'm just reading about it, and I thought, wow, that is just perfect.
What?
That's how it works, and she's going to pull this off, and it's going to be great. That was there. Your so that's what you should watch for in the Super Bowl ads while you're eating your guacamole and we'll take a break and we come back to Saturday Suckage. I'm Stevie's Suckage, and what were the odds that I would be hosting Saturday Suckage? Well, here we are. That one thing you should watch for in the game. Kansas City players are openly talking about. It's being written about. And you don't know, is it real? Is it subterfuge? Is it all about the craziness that goes into, that makes college and pro football coaches crazy? So it involves Patrick Mahomes, which makes it all the more interesting. Talk about that. Top of the hour, I would talk with Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune. Talk about Michael Jordan and what the Bulls didn't do at the trade deadline, what the White Sox don't do at trade deadlines, how mediocrity is thy name. And there is a Super Bowl ad we're not going to see here, but we really should. And I'll talk about that and Patrick Mahomes after this. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suck, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You suck!
It's Saturday Suckage on 670, The Score, in Odyssey Station.
Welcome and welcome back. Stevie Suckage here on the Big 670. Top of the hour talk with Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune. Talk about Michael Jordan, LeBron James, who's the GOAT, why are we so passionately defending Michael Jordan, and then Sox and Bulls, and why is mediocrity okay? It is. No matter what they say, it is. because they accept it. Anyways, this is something you should look for during the game. Patrick Mahomes. Now, we've seen him throw from all sorts of arm angles. It's like watching David Cohn pitch. All sorts of arm angles. We've seen him throw sidearm. We've seen him throw underhand. We've seen him throw left-handed. He's done all that. He's thrown no-look passes, too. There's one thing that seems to be remaining, and he's been working on it this week. He's admitting to working on it this week. He's been working on it for weeks. And he talked about it. FoxSports.com is writing about it. It's a behind-the-back pass. He's been working on it, and it gets a two thumbs up from Travis Kelce because it's probably not going to travel that far, and guess who's going to win the jump ball for that? Travis Kelce wants to be in that poster shot. But that's what Patrick Mahomes is working on, and he has been working on it. He's admitted to working on it. The coaching staff in Kansas City has admitted to having him work on it and throw it, and his things have to be, okay, the receiver is a little behind, the quarterback's rolling to his right. This is weird where he has done it in practice. Mahomes is rolling to his right, and the receiver is not there. Whatever his target is, it's behind where his vision is, or behind where his arm could. And so instead of throwing behind across his body, he can throw behind the back. You better not have a 6'7" defensive end chasing you at that point. You might not make it. And that was the thing, that he's admitted working on it. There are certain situations where it happens, and he is showing great confidence in it. Who knows? It could happen tomorrow. He could find an opportunity to do that. Unlikely to see, say, on fourth down if they're going for it. If he's got a down to burn, he can give that a shot. But Andy Reid was talking about it and said, yeah, he's working on it. We see it. You better be damn sure that gets to the intended target. And that's what Andy Reid says. Right. I don't care how it gets there, but it has to get there. Parents, you got to tell your kids about Bob Cousy. Bob Cousy was Magic Johnson long before there was Magic Johnson with the Boston Celtics. He threw passes through his legs, through your legs, around behind the back, over his head, backwards, whatever he did. Bob Cousy was a magnificent passer, and he threw balls from all angles to players you never would have imagined would have been open, but Bob Cousy found them, and the Celtics teams were powered by his ability to move the ball that way, throw the ball that way, pass the ball that way, and that's what it was about. And I remember interviewing Red Auerbach, the legendary coach, and he said, me and Cousy, we had an agreement. You can throw that ball any way you want. If it doesn't get to our guys, you're going to have a seat next to me. That was the idea. That was the agreement that they had. So that seems to be what Andy Reid has. And Andy Reid might be okay with Patrick Mahomes throwing a behind-the-back pass in the biggest game of the year. How great would that be? Well, you watch for it. We'll take a break here on Saturday Suckage. When I come back, I'll be talking with Paul Sullivan. Talk to Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and talk about why the Bulls and White Sox. What do the Bulls and White Sox have in common with accepting mediocrity? Reinsdorf du jour. That's what they have. We'll talk about that. I'm Stevie Suckage, Saturday Suckage. What were the odds that would happen? Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Back, Stevie Suckage here on the Big 670. Top of the hour, talk with Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune. Talk about Michael Jordan, LeBron James, who's the GOAT. Why are we so passionately defending Michael Jordan? And then Sox and Bulls, and why is mediocrity okay? It is. No matter what they say, it is. Because they accept it. Anyways, this is something you should look for during the game. Patrick Mahomes. Now, we've seen him throw from all sorts of arm angles. It's like watching David Cohn pitch. All sorts of arm angles. We've seen him throw sidearm. We've seen him throw underhand. We've seen him throw left-handed. He's done all that. He's thrown no-look passes, too. There's one thing that seems to be remaining, and he's been working on it this week. He's admitting to working on it this week. He's been working on it for weeks. And he talked about it. FoxSports.com is writing about it. It's a behind-the-back pass. He's been working on it, and it gets a two thumbs up from Travis Kelce because it's probably not going to travel that far. And guess who's going to win the jump ball for that? Travis Kelce wants to be in that poster shot. But that's what Patrick Mahomes is working on, and he has been working on it. He's admitted to working on it. The coaching staff in Kansas City has admitted to having him work on it and throw it, and as things have to be, okay, the receiver is a little behind, the quarterback's rolling to his right. This is weird where he has done it in practice. Mahomes is rolling to his right. And the receiver is not there. Whatever his target is, it's behind where his vision is, but it or behind where his arm could. And so instead of throwing behind across his body, you can throw behind the back. You better not have a 6 foot seven defensive end chasing you at that point. You might not make it. But and that was the thing that he's admitted working on it. There are certain situations where it happens, and he is showing great confidence in it. Who knows? It could happen tomorrow. He could find an opportunity to do that. Unlikely to see, say, on fourth down if they're going for it. If he's got a down to burn, he can give that a shot. But Andy Reid was talking about it and said, yeah, he's working on it. We see it. You better be damn sure that gets to the intended target. And that's what Andy Reid says. Right. I don't care how it gets there, but it has to get there. Parents, you got to tell your kids about Bob Cousy. Bob Cousy was Magic Johnson long before there was Magic Johnson with the Boston Celtics. He threw passes through his legs, through your legs, around behind the back, over his head, backwards, whatever he did. Bob Cousy was a magnificent passer, and he threw balls from all angles. Two players you never would have imagined would have been open, but Bob Cousy found them, and the Celtics teams were powered by his ability to move the ball that way, throw the ball that way, pass the ball that way. And that's what it was about. And I remember interviewing Red Auerbach, the legendary coach, and he said, me and Cousy, we had an agreement. You can throw that ball any way you want. If it doesn't get to our guys, you're going to have a seat next to me. That was the idea. That was the agreement that they had. So that seems to be what Andy Reid has. And Andy Reid might be okay with Patrick Mahomes throwing a behind-the-back pass in the biggest game of the year. How great would that be? Well, you watch for it. We'll take a break here on Saturday Suckage. When I come back, I'll be talking with Paul Sullivan. Talk to Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and talk about why the Bulls and White Sox. What do the Bulls and White Sox have in common with accepting mediocrity? Reinsdorf du jour, that's what they have. We'll talk about that. I'm Stevie Suckage, Saturday Suckage. What were the odds that would happen? Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.